guys. I want to just let you know something very special. Chungu has a demo CD. He's been working on an album for some time, and this is not the full version, but he's got, and this is very, very, there's four songs on it, and one of my favorites is the one, Fire Shut Up in My Bones and the Overcomers. It's only 28 pin, all right, for four songs. Now, please let me just make mention of something. Don't say, well, my friend is going to get it, and then I'll just share it with him. There is a big problem in our city when it comes to stealing music. Just keep looking straight, smiling. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But how would you like if you worked for 6 months to a year, worked hard at something, and then your boss said, oh, well, praise the Lord, I think you should just give that to us for free. But that's what musicians do. It's what they've produced, and we enjoy it, and so we should pay for it. And if you can't afford 28 pin and you want to steal music for 28 pin, then you've got bigger problems than just wanting music. All right, so go out and get it. There aren't that many. Chungu, how many? Where'd you go? Chungu? There's just 100, right, or something? Okay, 73. Those I'm sure will go today, so you can make the second service disappointed by buying theirs. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to finish up talking about the management of our life. We're going to finish talking about faithfulness, but we're not going to finish doing it, right? We've only begun to do what we've set out to do, all right? And how many of you know talking about faithfulness is not faithfulness? Faithfulness is faithfulness, all right? And sometimes I realize as a preacher, it's a whole lot easier to put together some scriptures and a few stories and talk to you about it. It's another thing to put it into your lifestyle every day of your life, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, so we, our life, our bodies, our spirit, the breath of our life, it does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And so he paid a price, so we manage our life on behalf of God. We are the stewards of our life. And we are accountable to him. He's watching. He's checking. He has standards, which are his word, by which he is demanding that we live our life by those standards. Now that we are his. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, it says, so let a man consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that means be found reliable, trustworthy, all right? And how other people can trust us, and also how God can trust us. You see, we know that we live a life of faith towards God, but God is looking for a people on the earth whom he can trust, whom he can delegate to, whom he can give assignments to. And as those assignments are finished and we grow and we learn from them, then we grow into higher assignments and we grow into other areas of life that he wants to use us and to do his will on the earth. And really it's not about, you know, we sometimes people in January, they will say, ah, January is my year of promotion, my year of promotion. And it's not so much about being promoted, but it's a matter of God wanting to use us in another way in our life. And it's about his purposes and his plans coming to pass through the time period that we have on the earth. Now, last week we saw a verse, and I'd ask us to turn back there, Luke chapter 16. And there were two things that Jesus noted that are important and that God values in the area of faithfulness. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. If you weren't here last week, I would really encourage you to get the CD. And we talked about faithfulness in the area of finances, of following God's word, following his wisdom, and following his principles when it comes to the tithe. I know many people have questions about the tithe, and we don't necessarily teach on it a whole lot here. In these PIE meetings, they say, Pastor, you know, we appreciate Miracle Life because it's not just always one message. All right. But money is in the Bible, and God cares about your money, and he cares about your faithfulness in money. So if you have had questions about that, I would really encourage you to get that CD, and it'll help allow you to see that the tithe is not about the money. It's about your heart, and it's about you trusting God and putting him first and honoring him in a very important area of your life. Now, let's look at another verse here that in this text that we're not able to get to last week. In verse 12 here, it says, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? All right. Faithful in another man's or another man's ownership or authority, who will give you what is your own? And I believe the principle that God is saying here is the principle of provenness. To prove ourselves. One of the things that when God told Timothy, who was a pastor, and he gave him instructions when he was looking for leaders, all right, and in the New Testament, that's how we see leaders were chosen, is that they were given a list of criteria to look for. All right. And in the leader's character, in their lifestyle, they were to see these qualities, and then that would make them eligible to be chosen. All right. And it was not a popularity contest. It was not to keep one group happy. Well, we need to have a representative from that group so that, you know, we don't want them to get mad. No, God is always looking for qualified people. All right. To do something on his behalf. And one of the things that God told Timothy was, he said, let them be proven. Let them be proven. That is, thank God for the CV. Thank God for what looks like on the outside. But there must be a time, there must be a season of provenness. And I believe our whole life is like that. I believe every area of our life prepares us for the next area. Those of you who have small children, and maybe they are infants or toddlers, what you are learning now is preparing you for the teen years. God didn't just make an 18-year-old appear on your doorstep as your first child. Otherwise, you would freak out. And you say, I can't be a parent. No, they come small. And I think the other reason why God gives us babies is because they're cute. That way we won't kill them. But we learn and we grow and we develop patience. And it starts out small. And then the responsibilities get a lot bigger. So as a parent, you learn how you can teach them to eat their own food. In 16 years, you're going to teach them how to drive a car that could kill them and kill other people. Amen? And so all of our life is about being proved and being found faithful. We see another principle here that he who is faithful in little can be trusted with big. He who's faithful in what belongs to someone else can be trusted with their own. I know in our church, and it's a part of our campaign, is to do our parking lot. And thank God, God has blessed you with vehicles. And some of you, you may be trusting the Lord with a vehicle for a vehicle. All right. And you say, God, I want a vehicle. All right. Question is, how do you drive a vehicle that doesn't belong to you? Oh, but you know, Pastor, you don't understand. That's the company vehicle. Yeah, I don't really have to look after that. No, that's exactly why you're walking today. Because you have not been faithful in what is another man's. So why in the world would God trust you with your own? Oh, Pastor, I just need to get married. Today, this year is my breakthrough for marriage. Hallelujah. I'm going to be married in Jesus' name. Question. How have you handled the opposite sex when you've been unmarried? Have you been faithful? Have you been trustworthy? Oh, you understand. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm getting my groove. I'm finding my way. I'm testing the waters. No. If you haven't been faithful in what is another man's, men, you realize that lady belongs to someone called parents. Amen. I like what Jesse Duplantis said. He had one girl, and he said, if I just kill the first one that comes, then word will get out. The first suitor. All right. But you have to be found faithful. And so many times in life when God, it's not working right now. Go back and see if you've been faithful. Because He will not give you more until you've been faithful with what you have. Last week we talked about the tithe, right? And the Bible says, not Pastor Walker, but the Bible says if you don't tithe, you're a thief. So why would God make you a bigger thief? God, I need more money. I need more money. Well, you're a little thief. Why would He want you to be a big thief? See, this is what this passage is talking about. Amen. Now, I know we want, you know, Pastor, just blow on us. Just and all my problems will go away. A lot of your problems will go away when you apply faithfulness to them. A lot of them will go away. All right. Now, let's look at some areas where we can be found faithful, where in a sense it is another man's. All right. Where responsibility can be learned and it can grow in our life. All right. One of the things we talked about is we talked about being faithful to God's word. We talked about being faithful to what He says. But I know many of you that have been walking with the Lord, you know when God speaks to you. You know when He prompts you to do something. When there's a leading, when there's, you know, I just feel like I need to make this phone call. I think I need to take this course. And yet, 3-4 years later, what have you done about it? Nothing. Nothing. You need to be faithful to God's promptings. I heard someone say this, that in your life where if something is not going quite right, go back to the last time God said something and see if you've done it. See if you've done it. Well, you know, I know the Lord really, he was dealing with me to, you know, just make sure my finances are in order and make sure that my will is right and make sure that everything is okay with the tax man. And just, I know things have been just kind of chaotic and I just need to get my finances in order. I knew He was dealing with me. Question is, have you done that? Have you done that? Well, you know, I knew I just felt impressed that I just needed to change some of my lifestyle, my exercise, my diet. You know, there's some things that I need to lose and get out of my life when it comes to that. Question, have you done that? Have you done what God has said? Well, God, just speak to me. Why does He need to speak to you twice when you haven't answered the first thing He said? Right? So keep track of those things. I would encourage you, have a journal. I keep stuff in my laptop now just when I feel like God's talking to me or when in prayer and those kinds of things. And I check up on those things. And there are times, I have to admit, where I go back and I say, wow, that was smart. Who wrote that? It was me 2 years ago. I just didn't do it yet. I don't need another book. I need to go back to what He said to do. Faithful. To God's promptings, to His, and sometimes that comes through the Word of God. It might come through a sermon. It might come through a word of advice that someone gives you. All right. Now, here's what I would encourage you when it comes to these things is when God speaks to you and you know that you need to do something, Be accountable to someone and tell them. Tell them. Well, no, I don't really want to tell them because then I'm going to have to do it. But that's the goal, right? Have a friend. Tell somebody, you know what? I want you to check on them. By the end of this year, by December 31st, I need to make sure I've done this. All right? And have somebody that you're accountable to. It'll help your life greatly. All right? Now, another area that we need to see about our faithfulness is faithfulness in preparation. Faithfulness in preparation. Many of you know that I'm a sports junkie. All right, if it has a ball, I will watch it. Even if it doesn't have a ball, if it's just a guy skiing down a mountain, I'll still watch it. I don't care. If it's competition, I just love to watch it. Now, I love to watch the competition, the games, the Olympics. But you know what none of us watch? We don't watch practices. We don't watch the drills. I mean, yes, sometimes they show it on TV and the guys they're doing their little things and they're huffing and puffing, but just like a couple seconds. It's not like we're going to sit down for, 4 hours and watch them do drills after drill after drill after drill. Oh, this is exciting. Oh, I'm so excited. This is passion. And we've got our scarf holding up in the air. Yeah, man, no. We don't like to watch the preparation. Now, most of us don't even like to do the preparation. We like showtime. The lights are on. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Right? But here's the thing. What happens on game day was preparation that was revealed. If they had not prepared, if they had not gotten ready, that weakness shows up on the pitch. Life is that way. Amen. I love food. Hallelujah. I love food. But one of my favorite things to eat in the whole wide world is my wife's lasagna. All right. And so I don't like to prepare the lasagna. I like to eat the lasagna. And so it's got layer after layer of this and this. Lots of different kinds of cheese and this has been simmering and that's happened. And so, I sit down, but one day I watched her make it. This and then this layer and this layer and this is cooking and that's cooking. I'm like, ooh, that's no fun. No, but the eating is the fun part, right? You can't have the eating without the preparation. There is no eating. There is no payoff. And I just think this is what, I think our whole life is this way. Some of you are thinking, oh, praise God, I've got 2 more years of university. 1 more year of medical school. I've got 2 more months of the internship and then I'm going to get the position. No, guess what? That position is preparation for the next position. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be so exciting. My kids are growing up and they're going to be big and then it's going to be, we're going to be empty nesters. No, guess what? What you've learned, now God has another assignment and it's bigger and it's tougher. And when does that end? When we lower your casket in the ground. That's when it ends. And so all of life is preparing for the next thing. Now we can enjoy where we are. If you're in university, enjoy it, love it, have a wonderful time in God. Amen? But it is preparing you. It's preparing you for the next thing. Something you are doing today is preparing you for your tomorrow. 1 Timothy 1:12, God was giving Paul inspiration about his own life. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said this, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me or graced me, empowered me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. A lot of people wonder why they're not in ministry, because they've not been found faithful. Very simple answer most of the time. New Living Translation says this, how thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for considering me trustworthy, appointing me to serve Him. Trustworthy. Can God trust you? Can He trust you with money? But see, I believe what he was referring to in Luke, when he says, if he can't trust you with money, he won't give you the true riches. What are the true riches? People. People. You lose $1,000, you can get it back somehow, somewhere. You mess up somebody's life, that's it. They don't have another life. They're not replaceable. All right? What are you building in your life? And this faithfulness over and over again, sports psychologists talk about something called muscle memory. Muscle memory. And all the sports I played as a kid, some now, I've taken up a little bit of basketball now after a long retirement. And you know the funny thing is, I shoot the ball exactly the way I did when I was 10 years old. Why? Because my body remembers it. Now I can watch Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, he can lay hands on me. It doesn't change the way I still shoot it the way I'm. If I'm going to change it, I've got to practice differently. To have new muscle memory in my body. And see, unfaithfulness is a soul memory. It's just the way I am. It's just the way I am. I've always done that way. Well, that's why God can't promote you. That's why God can't give you another assignment until that gets worked out of your life. You see, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. You do it over and over again, and now it becomes ingrained in your life. What are you honing in your life that you do over and over again? Start preparing something different now. Faith believes that something is changing. Faith believes that something good is ahead of me, so faith will prepare now for a different future. Amen? And I know at church we talk about this from time to time, but friends, young people, single people, this is what sexual purity is about. It's preparing you for your future. It's honing in a skill, because when you get married, now it's until death do you part. We had a wedding here. Caesar, our worship leader, is not here today. He is married. And the one part I love to say, if I could, it would probably be a little rude in a marriage ceremony, but I would like to take the guy by the shirt collar and slap him twice and say, say this, forsaking all others, forsaking all others. I keep myself only unto you, as long as we both shall live. What part of that do you not understand? See, sexual purity is not just for the single person, it's for the married person. But the sexual purity you need in marriage, you will learn as a single person. Lots of no thank you, no, no, no. Not today. No, thank you. God bless you. No, thank you. Running. I'm running. You're going to take that skill. You're going to take that faithfulness. You're going to take that muscle memory and you're going to take it into marriage. And that's how you're faithful to your spouse. Until death do you part. After she's born 8 children for you. I need a little something different. No, just get out that muscle memory. Just keep the same faithfulness that you learned. See, all of life works this way. All of it works this way. If you are a student, and I know many of our church members are in some type of studies as a student, and even people who are in careers, they're studying. Are you studying in a way just to get through the course? Or are you studying in a way getting prepared to do that? My doctor here in town, when he graduated here from medical school in Zambia, he said, I was one of 64 doctors. I was one of 64 doctors. And when he was telling me that, I was wondering, well, where did you rank? I hope you weren't 63. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on, but a scalpel, please. Oh, I've never seen that before. Because you were sleeping on that day. You were goofing off on that day. I need you to get an A in internal medicine. Because it's not an A for you, it's an A for my body. When you cut it open. Amen. And so we want other people to be experts for us. But do we, are we the experts that other people are looking for? Have we made ourselves pickable? Choosable. I know that's, these are all bad English words, all right? And very, very specifically, those of you that are in employment, you're working. If you're working, it's not just for a paycheck. You're getting muscle memory. You're putting things into your life. You're putting, well, Pastor, you don't understand. This is not my ultimate position. Well, pick a number and join the crowd. I mean, no, I'm just kind of biding my time here. Well, you should have told somebody that when they hired you to do the job. Yeah, why do you want to be here? Well, I just want to be here because I'm biding my time for my ultimate position. I don't really want to serve you. I just, you know, I've got my eyes on higher things than this position. No. If you haven't been found faithful in a little, there will be no much. That day will never come. Well, I bind the devil, I cursed him down, and I break his power. You need to bind yourself. That's where the binding needs to take place. Look at Genesis 39. Let's see a guy if he felt this was his ultimate position. Was he waiting to be faithful until he received his promotion? A guy named Joseph, that God had big intentions for his life. And he had already told him. He said, man, I tell you, Joseph, there's going to be a day your brothers are going to bow down to you. You're going to be a leader. Well, that didn't happen right away. Joseph is a slave, and he's a slave because his brother sold him there. Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. He's not even in the right place. This is not even the right company. Brought him down from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Successful what? A successful slave. Man. That's what he is. He's a successful slave man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw. Everybody say he saw something. Well, if they just gave me the chance, I could prove them. No. We need to see it now, please. Today is the tryout. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. What did he see? What did he see? A halo around his head? Joseph going around the garden singing Hillsong songs? Huh? Wow, boy, he is spiritual. He saw him praying in tongues while he should have been working. No, he saw God on him. He saw that he was awesome. And all that he did prospered in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. No kidding. Imagine that. Everything Joseph touched, God prospered, and so he found favor in Pharaoh's sight. Well, I'm claiming favor with my employer. Make your own favor. God is not a deceiver. He's not going to deceive your employer to believe something about you that's not true. Well, I've got favor on me. Well, you need more than favor. You need the real world. The hands that are working and prospering. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. He served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. Yeah, that's the part I like. Oh yeah, all of the authority. Well, you got to read the previous verses. How did he get there? So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, years later, after Joseph went to prison for something that he didn't do, the Pharaoh himself did the same thing with Joseph. Joseph became the prime minister. Joseph ran all of Egypt. Why? Because he learned it as a slave. You're not a slave. You may think your job feels like a slave. No, you're supposed to learn something there. And one of the things you're supposed to learn is to keep your mouth shut. Come on, everybody say hallelujah. And do your work. Let your work speak for itself. Amen. If you're asking for a raise, prove the raise. Do the job of two people. And say, hey, I'm doing the job of two people here. And they'll say, yes, you certainly are. But don't do the job of a half of a person and expect to get a raise. Yeah, but Pastor, I need a new cell phone. I'm sorry, the real world doesn't work that way. And God's word, his world doesn't work that way. Amen? God used the faithfulness that Joseph learned as a slave to save an entire nation, to save his family. And see, friend, you don't know where you are right now. You don't know why you're there. You don't know what you're learning. And you don't know that if you flunk that test, then the big thing that God wants to use you in your life, he's not going to be able to do it. Huh? And you just get mad and get jealous. So why did that happen for somebody else? I don't know why it happened for somebody, but judge yourself. Amen. Now, I realize in our nation, half, I believe it's 50% of those that are employed are civil servants. Amen. And we have some wonderful people out there doing some incredible things. And I've met some of them in our PI meetings and people that are serving and dedicated to helping our nation. Amen. But if you're a civil servant, remember the second part of your job description, of your title. Civil servant. Servant. Serving others. Amen? I was so proud of someone in one of our PI meetings, and I won't say her name to embarrass her, all right? But she worked in our bookshop, and she was a blessing, and she was there for a period of time, and then she found a job in what she was trained to do. And I hadn't seen her in a little while, chatted to her. And she said, you know, I work now at a peristatal, and I've got a whole group of people that are under me. And she said, but you know what? What I learned in the bookshop, what Pastor Haley taught me to be on time and to be accurate, I've taken that, and the whole place isn't like that, but my department is. Everyone comes early. Everyone works hard. And she's created a pocket of excellence. Why? Now, when she was in the bookshop, she might have thought, why am I in the bookshop? Why am I here? This isn't even what my degree is in. No, but she applied herself. She learned muscle memory every day, every day, every day, every day. It didn't sound spiritual. It wasn't ooey and gooey. It wasn't praying in tongues. I like to pray in tongues, but there's more to life than praying in tongues. And so she learned that faithfulness. She submitted to authority. She learned something. And now it's being multiplied somewhere else. And I'm just making a mental note. I'm going to watch her for the next 10 years and watch where she ends up in life. Oh, why, Pastor? Because the Lord is with her? No, because she's learned faithfulness. because she's applied herself and she's understood that for me to go farther in life, there's got to be something that changes on the inside of me. Amen? Reliable. Jesus said, He leaves us here because we are salt and we are light. We're salt and we're light. Ask yourself, friend, when you go into the world, how salty are you? How salty? That means it makes a difference. Food with salt and food without salt, you can taste the difference. This needs something. Our world needs you, but they need you to be salty. They need you to be different, not like the same person in the next cubicle, the same person that comes late. I tell you what, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's certain places I go and I've been where, you know, and these are people that are earning, their paychecks are coming from my tax dollars. So they say, come at 8. That's when everybody arrives. Well, I get there at 8. There's nobody there at 8. They're coming in 8:30, 8:45, having a cup of tea, stealing my money. Tell your neighbor, that's not me. Pastor, I want you to talk about redemption again. Let's get excited. I am free. No, you're free so that you can live this way. See, because when we're not free, the devil controls our life, but we're free. We're free to be like Jesus. We're free to be faithful. We're free to be reliable. People like Joseph didn't have what you have. He didn't have the new covenant. He didn't have his sins washed away. He didn't have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I would love to see the day in our city where people who are running companies and HR managers, as soon as they get to your CV and where it says Miracle Life Family Church, you go to the top of the stack. Oh, I like Miracle Life people. Oh man, I tell you what, they are different. They work hard. They are smart. They apply themselves. They're not troublemakers. Oh, I like, you go to Miracle Life. Oh, I tell you what, the last 10 people we had from Miracle Life, man, I wish I could get a, you, oh man, can we give you a little more money? Cause I know somebody else is going to try to get you. Amen. That's my heart. That's my vision. Tell your neighbor that's possible. Amen. Now, ask yourself where you are and where you're employed, what you're doing. If you're a student, are you giving it 100%? Are you giving 100%? And I realize 100%, sometimes 100% means, you know what, this is still tough and I feel like I don't know it, but have you given it your all? And there's a saying in sports that coaches would tell us. And he said, when you play, leave it on the pitch. All the sweat, all the blood. When you're done with that game, you should not be, oh man, this feels good. I feel fresh. No, you need to leave all your energy there. And when you're done, when that whistle blows, you're finished. Why? Because you gave it for the team. You gave it there. Amen. If you're doing a full day's work, when you're done, you should be tired. Your brain should be thinking, man, I need a break. And you know, playing solitaire on the computer is not that mentally taxing. Playing on Facebook for 4 hours. I went to a Christian organization that's using God's money. And I'm telling you, 99% of the employees were on Facebook the entire time I was there. Not checking their mail. I'm talking about solely dedicated. I came back 45 minutes later. Oh, Jesus, 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 precious Jesus. I felt like asking him, you know, what part of your job description requires you to be doing this right now? Christian organization. They're all believers. I would call them semi-believers. Believers and not doers. All right. That went over well. Hallelujah. What is another responsibility? What's an area that we have that we need to be found faithful in? And today we're going to be able to put this into practice. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." There are very interesting instances in the Word of God where God has prayer requests. God says, "I want you to pray for something for me." All right? And I need you to pray about a certain situation. Now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Faithful in prayer. Faithful to do what God has asked us to do. 1 Timothy 2:1. "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So there's something good, there's something right that God wants, but we have to pray for that in order to see it happen. "Who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." All right? And so we're going to take the remaining time that we have and we're going to pray for the nation. We're going to pray for the elections. We're going to pray for peace. Amen? Why? Because Jesus asked us to. God asked us to. He has a prayer request for us. And I know many, many churches and different gatherings have been praying about this. God led us as a church to start praying for these elections a year and a half ago. All right? And we've been doing that, and we've been happy to do that. But I believe as a church, we should do that together. And again, I want you to, I would think by now, since Sunday and elections are on Tuesday, probably you've already made up your mind. You already have your candidate. Okay, so this is not prayer for your candidate. Okay, and I know by the end of the week, a whole lot of you are not going to be happy one way or the other, right? Obviously, okay. But we still have a responsibility to pray. And when we pray, God hears. And when he hears, he answers, all right? And so we want to pray for peace. The Bible says that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, so we can put a stop to things down here. Whatever we loose, we can put a start to things. Whatever we loose is loosed from heaven. All right? So I'd ask you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, and I would ask you to find maybe five or six people around you. Find a group of people. You may know them, you may not know them. But just right now, just find a group of people. And I want us just to form circles. Let's just form circles. You can hold hands in prayer to let people know that we're praying together. And we want to pray about some of these things. And as a group, just let the Lord lead you and we'll pray. Let's pray for peace. Let's ask God to be with the police, with the military, with the Electoral Commission of Zambia, that there would be righteousness and truth and justice. Amen. That no one would be hurt, no one would be killed, no one would be injured. That God will be with the leaders that are influencing others. Amen. And so let's lift up Tuesday. And obviously campaigning is stopping tonight. But Tuesday and the rest of the week and the post-election and all of that. Let's lift this up to the Lord and let's ask him. Amen. Go ahead. You can just pray where you are. All right. Just go ahead and let's lift up our voice to God and let's trust him in faith today because he is the God who hears. He's the God who answers. Father, we thank you so much. Father, we lift up Tuesday, Father, then the elections to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace. We speak peace, Father. We put a stop to violence in Jesus' name. We put a stop to any hurt or any killing, Father, in Jesus' name. We will not allow it within these borders, Father. Father, be with the leaders. May the words that are spoken, Father, and the actions that take place, may they promote peace. Father, we ask you for justice. Lord, that every vote would be counted only once, and those that are not voting would not be in the count. Father, that there would be accuracy. Father, that there would be truthfulness in whatever the result is, Father. Lord, be with election observers. Be with those in the different constituencies, in the different polling places, Father. May they make a stand for justice and righteousness. Lord, may people, Lord, anyone that is tempted to do something that is wrong, Father, we thank you that your light and your life will be there, Father, bringing about righteousness in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for the results, Father. Thank you for the peace after the elections. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we put a stop to any nonsense. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak your word. Father, your word says that when a nation loves you and your ways, Father, oh, Father, your blessing is there. Father, we thank you for your blessing that is here. We thank you for your blessing that is here on this nation in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you thanks, for you are good. For you are good. Thank you, Father. For we walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, by faith, by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right now, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's give God praise in advance. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, let's just lift up our voice. Let's love him right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for peace. We thank you for righteousness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is working. Oh, that is working this week. Oh, we love you today, Father. We love you today. We love you today. We love you today. Hallelujah. Now, let me encourage you. Part of being faithful in prayer is persevering in prayer. All right? And thank God we can pray as a church. And I believe many, many, many churches and believers are. But just as God would impress you, or just as a family tonight, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, come together and pray and just speak God's word. Amen. Speak his plan and purpose. Oh, but Pastor, what about? We all read the newspapers. All right. But you know what? We have another source of information. All right. And thank God, God is at work and he will be at work. Amen. Amen. Just go ahead and bow your heads with me right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, we've been talking about a quality of faithfulness, a quality that is in the life of Christians, the nature of God. If you don't know Jesus, if he's not a part of your life, the Bible says that you're cut off from the nature of God, the life of God. He loves you. He cares for you. But you would be honest today and you say, I don't have a relationship with him. Jesus is not a part of my life. Now, how does he become a part of your life? Well, it's not just from going to church. It's not from going to a class, but it's inviting him into your life. The Bible says to as many as received him. You see, that's your choice. That's your decision. That's your action. And today, if you don't know him, you can. You can receive him. You can receive him personally, just between you and him. Maybe you're a Christian and your life is a mess. You're backslidden and you know that I need to make things right with God. I need to come home to my Father. That song that we heard, there's a Father's love. There's a Father's care. And the prodigal son found out that his father was better than he would have ever imagined. And if you're far from God today, you can come home and you'll receive cleansing. You'll receive a banquet. You'll receive a brand new future. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to receive him. I need to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Or I need to come home to my Father. If that's you, wherever you are, raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. Say, that's my decision. I'm receiving him today. I'm receiving him today. If that's you, where are you? Where are you? God loves you. He loves you. Anyone at all. You don't have to be apart from him. You don't have to be away from him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Looks like we might all be family today. I just felt impressed as we've been talking about faithfulness. And, you know, when I preach this, I'm preaching it to myself. I'm preaching it to areas of my life that need to rise up. And I want to encourage us before we go today, that areas of your life that need to rise up and where you're not choosable right now. It's not about you polishing up your own life. It's not about you leaving this place and saying, well, oh, that was inspiring. I'm going to try harder. Christianity is not about trying harder. It's about Jesus living his life through you. It's about his grace and his power. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I need to come up in the area of faithfulness. I know it. Others see it. And I need a change. I need that power. I want us to pray right now. And I want you to receive that. I want you to trust him today. But it comes from being honest. It comes from being humble enough to say that I need it. All right? So just grab the hand of somebody next to you right now. I would imagine we all need this in some form or fashion. And I'm going to pray from here. But you ask God, God, help me to be faithful in my money. God, help me to be faithful in the area of my sexual purity. God, help me to be faithful at my job, taking care of my stuff. Faithful in my relationships, that which belongs to somebody else. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to you, Father. Lord, we are here today because we need you. We need you in our life. And Father, you've taken us from a horrible pit, and we're here today. Lord, we're not where we used to be. But Father, we know that there are more steps to take. We know there's some more of our journey to make with you. And Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your empowering love that helps us to be faithful. Lord, we ask you. We ask you. We ask you right now, Lord. We need grace. Lord, help us to be faithful over here and over there. Yes, Father, I receive that. I receive that in Jesus' name. Oh, I receive that in Jesus' name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we expect to change. We expect there to be a difference. We expect for people to ask us what's happened with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we leave this place, we thank you and we speak over every single individual, Father, that you have given your angels charge over us, lest we would dash our foot against a stone. Father, we are protected. We are covered by you. Lord, no destruction, no calamity comes near our dwelling. Only with our eyes will we see. But it will not come near us. Father, this week we are protected. We are loved by you. Father, we speak over every individual right now that we are in the right place at the right time. Father, deliver us from evil. Keep us and protect us in Jesus' name. And Satan, we make a declaration to you over every member of Miracle Life, whether they're here or not. We are protected. We are protected. You have no place in us. You are a thief, and we will not allow you to take any part of our life or our peace, our property, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we love you.